Welcome to Artrageous, a weekly podcast about the truly outrageous stories in the art and design world. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Artrageous. Just in time for the subject of today's episode, today the March Madness continues as we start seeing some of the Sweet 16 face-offs for this year's NCAA basketball tournament. And I couldn't be more whelmed. Not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed, just whelmed. I'm not a huge sports fan, and I would argue that basketball is maybe one of my least favorites, but that could also be because I just never got into it and don't really know many of the rules. Shoot, if you ask me what five player positions there are, I could tell you maybe two or three. But hey, it didn't stop me from filling out a bracket this year just like everyone else. Funny story about that, Nate put together a Stoveleg Media group on the ESPN website, and I think he sent me the link more than once to fill it out. But of course, I got busy and last week's episode was a lot. It ended up being much longer than I expected, and it just took a lot longer, and I was working on it very last minute. And I think I finally went to bed at some ridiculous time, like 4 a.m. after finishing the episode and posting it. So last week was busy, and then I woke up in the morning, and it was maybe not even 20 minutes until the tournament started, and I was pestered to fill out my bracket super quickly. I think I spent longer trying to remember my password from last year and log in than I did filling out the actual bracket. I literally just went in and did a random pick and choose strategy, just like a super quick gut check on the teams and whatever felt right. I think I favored a lot of the 9 seeds over 8 seeds, and somehow teams with either red or blue in their logos were pretty highly picked. But somehow, and I have no clue how, despite Virginia losing to Furman and Princeton beating Arizona, Marquette failing me, and with Purdue somehow blowing it, my bracket isn't totally busted, and I'm actually tied for second place right now. It's probably all luck, but if Alabama holds on and wins this thing for me, I might be able to secure bragging rights for the next year or so. But that's my somewhat serious bracket that really means absolutely nothing for this episode. What really matters is the current contenders in the Sweet 16 and how this episode is going to work. Since filling out a bracket is such a crapshoot each year, and there's really no predicting what's going to happen, and all strategies seem to fail miserably at some point, I figured, heck with it, let's do the nerdy designer thing and guess the winner of the tournament based on design. Maybe the winner of our designer bracket will do it, maybe they'll just win the designer bracket, but I figured it might be a little fun. So what are the criteria that I'm looking at today? Well, I went through each of the 16 teams and I pulled images for the basketball team's uniform design, each team's mascot logo, and their mascot's costume. I also pulled their school logo and their official collegiate school seal, and also some bonus images of like historical logos and some really cute animal pictures if the mascot happens to be something adorable, like a baby razorback or a husky puppy. And I know that seems like a lot, but the three categories I'm mostly looking at for each matchup are the uniforms, the logos, and the mascots. All those other fun things are just there for any possible tiebreakers. For uniform design, I think we're going to run into a lot of similarities among uniforms. When I was doing all of my image collection for visuals, it really looks like a lot of the jerseys in the pro shops all have the same basic design, and it's mostly color variations on the jersey and trim colors. It was also kind of hard to tell if they were uniforms from this year, like some were marked as retro uniforms, or sometimes there's the official version that the players wear on the court, and then the pro shops have more generic ones in the team colors so that they're more evergreen for consumers. In my search, I thought all of that was really weird, so I did go to the official NCAA website and I looked at the condensed game videos to see what each team was actually wearing in the 2 games that they've each played. So hopefully I'm looking at the right thing, but just wanted to give you guys a heads up that uniform design might not be as heavy of a consideration in some of these matchups. Also, when digging up all this stuff, I was actually able to access the official university brand guidelines and the official athletics brand guidelines for each of these 16 colleges. Unlike some brand toolkits, I'm thinking mostly like big corporations where you have to log in to view the official brand guidelines. It looks like because these are big name universities with sports teams and there's licensing that happens with logos and things like that, I think they almost have to make something available to the public, which in this case is great because it made finding a lot of this stuff a lot easier and even a bit more interesting. I'll include the links to each of those 16 athletic organizations' brand guidelines in the show notes just in case you're a bit of a design junkie like me and if you're interested. Those full brand guidelines for each university can usually be found on their main website, or you can simply Google the university's name and then brand guidelines, and it's usually one of the first things that pops up. But back to how this is going to work, it's going to be a normal single elimination bracket design showdown. I'm starting with the exact same Sweet 16 matchups whose games are starting today, and just following that same bracket pattern until we find our design winner. I've arranged all of the most pertinent images in the show notes so you guys can follow along throughout the episode and see what I'm talking about and who I'm picking over who. And for once, I actually had to lay out the show notes before the episode was recorded. So that was a really interesting experience, but it also really helped organize all the mental madness these graphics are giving me. I'll even leave an empty designer bracket if you guys want to disagree with me and find your own best design team, because we all know design is subjective and everyone has their own opinion. I would actually be really interested to see who you would pick and if your choice turns out to be any different than mine. One more little thing before we get started. I know in episodes like these, there's potential for me to pull out some crazy design terminology like kerning or talking about Pantone colors and things like that. And I'm going to try to keep all of that as accessible to everyone as much as possible and kind of explain along the way. So please forgive me if I use some official design terms or even the opposite and say something that's more descriptive rather than technical. So with that little disclaimer and pre-apology out of the way, let's get into it. Our first matchup in the Sweet 16 designer round is Alabama versus San Diego State. In my real bracket, I have Alabama winning it all, but in this bracket, let's just look at these two side by side. Remember, we're going to look at uniform design, logo design, and mascot design. Best 2 out of 3 wins and advances to the next round. This is a really fun matchup to get us started. To start off, in terms of colors, both teams are pretty generic. Alabama has a crimson red, a 50-ish percent gray, a black, and a white. San Diego State has 3 colors, a very similar red that's maybe a bit more vibrant, and then they also have a black and a white. I think we're going to see a lot of very basic colors and combos throughout all these teams, save a few that are a bit more distinct, so I'm not going to ding these two for that. On the color front for these two teams, it's going to be a tie. Like I mentioned before, for uniform design, I think we're going to run into a lot of similarity among uniforms, but usually each team has 2 uniform choices. There's usually a white one, and then each team has a darker one too. I think we talked about it a little bit in the NFL sports graphics episode about the reasoning behind it, but in this case, I'm going to look at both versions just to give a fair shot at both. For both Alabama and San Diego State, they wore their white uniforms for both the first and second round. When comparing these two, I'm going to have to give the point to San Diego State simply because they incorporated their black down the side of the jersey and continued that black stripe into the shorts, versus how Alabama just put some red on the collar and a swoopy red line across the front of the shorts and called it a day. Now for the colored uniforms that we haven't seen in the NCAA tournament games yet, I love the red for both of these teams. But San Diego State also has a black uniform that's just really calling out to me. It looks clean, sleek, it really shows their logo, and I think it's just a little bit different than a lot of the uniforms I've seen so far. So overall, I'm going to say that San Diego State wins the uniform category for this first matchup. For logos, oh, I could go on and on about these. I have some really nitpicky comments for Alabama's logos when it comes to the block lettering, the spacing between letters, a little bit of contrast issues, but what I really do like is the graphic for Big Owl. That elephant logo is clean, it's fun, it's also intense in a way that says, don't mess with us, and I absolutely love the shaping of all of the elephant's elements. Try saying that one 10 times fast. Elephant's elements. I can't even say it twice. But it's a very solid logo. For San Diego State, I think this one is so clever. I personally love when logos are cleverly designed to integrate visuals into actual letters. It took me a quick second at first to see what was going on, but when I realized that the D was being used as a bow for the arrow passing through it, I was sold. I think the S does look a little bit like it comes from a different font family, but considering the shape of the S is mimicking cultural motifs of the Aztec Empire, and it wraps around the D to incorporate it into that design, I think it works really well. So this one was tougher, but I'm going to give San Diego State the win on logo design as well. That's already a win in 2 out of the 3 categories for San Diego, so they're moving on to the next round where we can talk about their mascot design there. But since Alabama is out of our designer bracket, let's just take a quick second to talk about their mascot graphic and costume. I think it's safe to say that I might have had San Diego State beating Alabama in this category too. You know, whenever you have a person in an elephant suit or in any animal suit, it's going to be a very small margin for success without the mascot looking either too cheesy or derpy or even creepy in some of these cases. But Big Al is actually kind of cute. I think whenever a team has to make a mascot costume, there's a decision that has to be made pretty early on in the design process where the question comes up, do we want to make the mascot fierce or do we want to make it family friendly? I think Alabama went with the family friendly on this one, and it's pretty cute. I don't see anything too derpy other than the trunk that I wish was stuffed with a little bit more stuffing to kind of give it a better shape. But yeah, it's cute and it works. And although I still would have picked San Diego State over Alabama in this category too, I can't really hate on Big Al too much. Our next matchup is Creighton versus Princeton, the Blue Jays versus the Tigers. Now, you might think that I would be a little partial to the Princeton Tigers because it was my high school name and I do love the Cincinnati Bengals. But I'm going to take a really impartial look at these two teams, and my verdict might surprise you. Or maybe not. Let's see. In their first game, the Creighton Blue Jays wore their white uniforms that are pretty standard as far as white uniforms go. What I did really like was the thick stripe of blue down the side that had some alternating dark and lighter blue bands. Usually, for me, stripes like that give a big Steve or Josh from Blue's Clues vibes, but I really like it here. Princeton also has some white uniforms, but we haven't seen them in the tournament yet, and they're really nothing to write home about. Where things get really interesting in this uniform matchup is the blue uniforms Creighton wore during round 2 and the black uniforms that Princeton wore during both rounds. I'm a huge fan of the color black. It is my favorite color, and I really like Princeton's uniforms. I will say that I would be curious to see what they would look like with a little less white, since that seems to be competing for attention with the orange, but overall, it's a solid classic uniform design. What really caught my attention and might be the differentiator here is the blue uniforms that Creighton wore on their second round game. They had this really interesting pattern down the side of both the jersey and the shorts, and while it maybe might have been a little too thick and intricate for a basketball uniform, it was off to the side, so I could ignore it, and it was really fun to see a totally different design element in these uniforms. So I'm going to have to go with Creighton for the win in the uniform category. Looking at the logos, I'm sorry, I'm just going to come out and say it, but Creighton wins this one hands down. Their logo is clean and modern, and it has so much depth even with limited colors. It also has some visual movement to it that makes me want to lean in and just look closer at it. Princeton, on the other hand, these guys need a logo refresh. I get it, it's an Ivy League school where academics are more prestigious than their athletic programs, but come on, guys. The P looks like a cheap ripoff of the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's very flat and busy, and there's just too many stripes. Their tiger logo isn't terrible, though. While, yes, I wish it had some kind of expression or energy other than the very neutral vibes it's giving off, I think it has a solid shaping and it looks like a tiger. So F on the P logo and a B minus on the tiger. Like I said, Creighton in the logo category, hands down. Again, that's 2 out of 3 for Creighton, so they're moving on to our next round. But since we're saying goodbye to the Princeton Tigers for this episode, let's quickly take a look at their mascot costume for the Tiger, who doesn't even officially have a fun nickname. So unlike Alabama, who went with a serious, almost mean-looking mascot logo, but a friendly, fun design for their mascot costume, Princeton went in the opposite direction. This mascot uniform could easily strike fear into the hearts of kids everywhere. It definitely falls into the category of creepy mascots. So yeah, sorry Princeton, you would have been 0 for 3 in all of these matchups. Next up is the FAU Owls versus the Tennessee Volunteers. FAU has some red, white, and blue action going on, and Tennessee has a pretty monochromatic orange and white color scheme. When comparing uniforms, I find it really interesting that although FAU's main color seems to be that deep blue, their colored uniforms use the red as the main color. But I think that actually works really well because it allows the blue and white of the FAU logo and text to really stand out. Here's a quick color theory lesson for you here while we talk about contrast and things standing out. So if you have a color wheel with your three primary colors, red, blue, and yellow, and you desaturate those colors so that they're just shades of gray, you're going to find that red is somewhere around the medium to medium dark gray, yellow is a light color gray that's pretty close to white, and blue, especially that FAU blue, is pretty close to black. When we talk about contrasting colors, this is exactly what we're looking at. So by putting that really dark text of Florida Atlantic or the FAU OWL logo on that field of red, the contrast is pretty nice. If we do the same thing for Tennessee's uniforms with the white and then that orange that leans a bit more towards the yellow side of the color wheel rather than the red, that contrast just isn't as stark. Then if you add in the fact that there's just a lot of characters in the word Tennessee, it sometimes makes the team name hard to read. Granted, that's why they have team colors to help differentiate teams on the court, but from a basic design perspective, I think I have to give this uniform category to FAU. On the logo front, I love, love, love not only the FAU owl, but also the wings on the F and the U when looking at the version of the logo with the school name abbreviation. Bonus is when you're looking at the logo the school has on their website, not the FAU athletic logo, but their school logo. The swoosh of the FAU owl is represented in the A's cross piece, which I think is really well done without being too much or too forced. But let's look at Tennessee. Their logo is a T, a big old T. You know, in some ways, I think it's kind of a cop-out when schools use a letter with very basic block lettering as their logo. But in defense of Tennessee, they weren't left with too many obvious options considering they're the Volunteers. That really doesn't have much in the way of strong iconography that's heavily associated with it, which is why their mascot graphic might seem odd when you see that it's a dog, a coonhound to be exact. Why? Well, fun fact, back in 1953, the University of Tennessee Pep Club held a contest to select the mascot, and they selected Smokey the Coonhound because it's a common breed in Tennessee that's a really good hunting working class dog. I guess much like a volunteer would be. I do really like the design of the dog mascot graphic though, so I'll give them that even if I do have to give the overall logo victory to FAU. I kind of feel bad because this is the third team in a row where we haven't even gotten to the mascots before a team's been eliminated. But hey, it helps us get through this round just a bit quicker. I will say that the Tennessee mascot costume is falling into that derpy category for me, but honestly, I'd prefer Derpy over that creepy Princeton Tiger we just saw, so I'll take it. Now on to the Kansas State Wildcats versus the Michigan State Spartans. I really like this matchup. It brings us colors that we don't see all that often in college sports. I'm talking purple and deep green. This is another really tough matchup for uniform design. I really like the unexpected secondary color in the K-State uniforms. Their official athletics brand guidelines list the K-State purple, then a mid-tone gray and a light gray. That's it. But if you look at the trim of their uniforms, there's this intriguing lighter purple color that might simply be a tint of that normal purple. But regardless, it looks cool and it's a fun addition to the standard cadence for uniform design that we've seen up until now. And although we haven't seen it in this tournament yet, they also have a uniform that's the K-State purple with white lettering that looks really nice. So two solid contenders to go up against Michigan State's uniforms. Of course, like everyone else, they have their white uniform with the green trim and lettering, and then they have their dark green uniform with the white trim and lettering. So nothing we haven't seen before. Nothing super blow you out of the water, awesome and cool, but it looks sharp. So I'm kind of torn on who wins the uniform category for this matchup. Maybe it isn't fair to do it, but I will mention that I found an alternate uniform for Michigan State that's black with the dark green trim and lettering that I am so in love with. And you might be saying, hey, wait a minute, didn't you just pick FAU over Tennessee because Tennessee's uniforms didn't have a lot of contrast? And you would be correct. I am catching myself with that one, but unlike Tennessee's uniforms that were just kind of meh to me, the Michigan State black and dark green ones really are standing out to me. So heck with it, to keep the show on the road, I'm going to pick Michigan State for the uniform category. Did you guys know that the K-State mascot logo is called the Power Cat? I just learned that this week, and I think that's a really fun name. Both of these teams have a one-color logo, which is really fun to put side-by-side in this matchup. I love the forward movement and strong graphic nature of K-State's logo, which is definitely giving me those power vibes for the Power Cat. Michigan State's logo is also nice. I would say it's more of what I'd call a classic logo, where if you think of a Spartan, then what they have is pretty much what you see from this logo. It's pretty straightforward and has some great use of negative space in the eye socket that's balanced out with the plumage of the headpiece. I'd give it a solid A, but I'm going to surprise even myself on this one and go with the Kansas State Power Cat logo. And oh my goodness, we now finally have a matchup where the mascot costume matters. I am so excited. Let's get into this one, even if one of these is instantly telling me it's a no. Can you guess which one? Well, spoiler, I'm just not sold on the K-State mascot costume. Which, this is really weird because I love the logo. I do like how the swooshy bits from the logo are incorporated into the Wildcat costume's face. But if you look, the mascot costume is just a headpiece that someone in a basketball uniform wears. Or a football uniform if it's football season. I mean, I could make arguments for the pros and cons of it from like a logistical standpoint, but if you compare that to the full-body, highly detailed costume of Michigan State's Sparty mascot, hands down, I have to go with Michigan State on this one. Bonus for Michigan State, in their Sparty brand guidelines, everything is phrased as if Sparty is talking to the reader. And on page 24, Sparty says, "Pictures of me in my old getup are absolutely prohibited. Please respect me and my past. Not everyone likes looking through old photos." I think that's a really cool way to make something boring like brand guidelines kind of fun. So unfortunately, I have to knock out Kansas State in this round, and Michigan State will be moving on to our Designer Bracket Elite 8. All right, let's power cat through these next four matchups, shall we? I don't want to bore all of you before we get even to the next round of eight. Now we have the Houston Cougars versus University of Miami, Florida Hurricanes. I'm a big fan of red, but it has been done so many times. I think Miami's green and orange is one of those more unique color combos that we don't get to see very often in sports. So when that translates to something like a uniform, I really like how Miami stuck with the green and then uses the orange as an accent on collars and pinstriping. Even on their white uniforms, that orange is still present and it's integrated very tastefully and very subtly. To really solidify Miami's uniforms as the winner of this category, I have to comment that their font is also really different. You'd think that a thin font like that wouldn't be very well suited for a uniform where people are moving around all the time because it might be kind of hard to see. But when you put short names like Miami and Canes, which is short for Hurricanes, when you put Miami and Canes on them, it allows those names to be bigger, so the weight of the font can be bypassed a little bit. Surprisingly, neither of these teams have mascot logos that are used consistently in their team branding. Both teams rely on that letter form logo, which, as we talked about, I think is kind of a cop-out, but from a branding perspective, the more logos and alternates you have, the more you get into that, where do I use logo A and when is it okay to use logo B? Where if you just have one logo, then that makes it a lot simpler for streamlining those kind of decisions in that creative process. Sometimes less is more, and there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. So Miami won the uniforms category, and it was a no contest on the logo. Which I guess that leaves the mascot costumes. We have a cougar and a duck with a sailor hat. Wait, why is there a duck? I'm not sure how the Hurricanes and ducks correlate, but aside from that, he's a fun little duck. He's not too angry looking, but still intense. Not too derpy or creepy, even though his feet kind of weird me out a little bit. But the costume design is pretty solid. Unlike the uniforms where the green was the dominant color with the orange accents, we have a little bit of the opposite here. There's a white duck with an orange beak and legs, and then the green color is more of an accent color. And then we have the cougar for Houston. Or should I say cougars, because there's also a female cougar costume, and they make a really cute couple. I love the color scheme on these. I know I said that red is a bit overused, and I know I just got done saying that sometimes less is more, but the two cats might be enough to push me over my general indifference on the duck. But shoot, that leaves us with a tie. Miami uniforms, Houston mascot. I guess I have to make a decision on the letter form logos after all. So for sake of time, since it was kind of a no contest, I'm literally going to flip a coin or do eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And let's go Houston Cougars, because their somewhat unofficial mascot logo looks cleaner and more modern than the Miami Duck. Next up is the Xavier Musketeers and Texas Longhorns. I think people listening to this episode might think I'm a little biased towards Xavier because it is a hometown team for me, but I just think the dark blue and gray is such a classic color combo. It's also really interesting to see that paired with the burnt orange of Texas, since blue and orange are opposites on the color wheel. You know, considering both of these teams wore their white uniforms in both of their previous tournament games this year, I'm actually really hoping that in their game on Friday, Xavier gets to wear their dark blue uniforms and Texas can wear their orange uniforms. That would be visually amazing. Overall, they both have a really clean, classic design, so I'm just going to have to go off of personal preference here and choose the Xavier blue uniforms as the winner for this category. Looking at their logos, they both have a mascot type logo and they both have a letter form logo. I love the graphic shaping on the Texas Longhorn, but because of the shape, it's a lot longer than it is tall, and it has some really thin line work in the horns. I don't think it holds up quite as well in smaller applications, such as a tiny little icon next to the team name in the bracket. Yeah, the Xavier X in that same scenario is kind of boring, but what good is a logo if you can't see it? Plus, the Xavier Musketeer icon is really cool. It has great graphic shaping, I love the curves, and not a pixel looks out of place. So there you have it, Xavier wins this round. But before we say goodbye to Texas from our designer bracket, I do have to say that I love their mascot costume. The cowboy hat is amazing and the horns are just so much fun. What's even better for Texas is they have an actual longhorn that comes to football games named Bevo. Bevo's coloring is actually pretty perfect because it's that same brown-orange color as the school brand color, but you might be wondering why the name Bevo. Turns out it's a play on the word beeve, which is the plural of beef, but it's also slang for a cow or steer that's destined to become food. So while that's a little depressing, there's your fun fact for the day. Arkansas Razorbacks versus UConn Huskies. The showdown of the animal mascots. And believe me when I say their live mascots are the absolute cutest. We have Tusk the Fifth for Arkansas and a cute husky dog for UConn. Instant tie on the cute animal mascot category, even though that's not something I'm using as a consistent grading category. I'll admit, this is Team 13 and 14, and I'm getting a little tired of talking about uniform design because they're all just so similar. So let's do it this way. I'll have you just picture a standard basketball uniform with one color, like white for the jersey color and then another color for the trim. In the case of Arkansas, we have a plain white jersey with red trim and lettering, and then a solid red with white trim and white lettering. For UConn, it's a plain white jersey with dark blue trim and dark blue lettering, and then the inverse of that, that's a solid dark blue with white trim and white lettering. The only real difference between the two here that helps me make a decision either way is an armpit design on UConn. We must be reaching that point in the episode where it's close to time for a commercial break if I'm down to talking about an armpit design. But really, it's on UConn's white jersey where there's just a simple, thick half stripe in that dark blue color that comes down out of the armpit, it stops, and then there's a white gap followed by a red accent line. It's so simple that it's almost hard to describe in podcast format, but it's enough to give UConn the win for uniforms. Next up is the logo. Plain and simple, I absolutely love the UConn Husky. I know we talked about visual movement in other logos, and that was a big determining factor for those logos. But even though the Razorback logo definitely has that, the red and black of the logo make it kind of difficult to tell what the logo even is, especially at a small scale. The Yukon logo, on the other hand, has a lot of contrast and some really interesting repetition of basic triangle shapes throughout the whole design. I think that leaves us with Yukon 2, Arkansas 0, meaning that Yukon is moving on to the next round. And finally, last but not least, we have Gonzaga and UCLA. Originally, I thought I wasn't going to be a fan of this matchup, but I surprised myself with my choice on this one. UCLA is another one of those teams that has a really unique color pairing that we just don't get to see that often in sports. Maybe a little bit with the Golden State Warriors, but that's a pro team and we aren't worried about that today. With UCLA's light blue and yellow color palette, it makes for some great uniforms. Like Gonzaga and everyone else, they're very traditional in design and don't really deviate from the design script too much, but the colors make them unique, and I think that's enough to give them a win in this category. When looking at logos, I don't know, you've heard me poo-poo on letterform logos multiple times throughout this episode because they're just basic. So I almost have to immediately give this one to Gonzaga. But aside from that, I would give the win in this category to Gonzaga anyway because their Bulldog logo is just so classic. It's almost like a high school team logo, but not in a bad way. He's fierce, he's fun. I love that they didn't just use black for the line work and instead they used the team's dark blue color. So Gonzaga with the W in the logo category. That leaves us 1-1 and we need to use the mascot costumes as a tiebreaker. During researching, I wasn't sure what a Bruin was, but Google told me that it's a bear, especially in children's fables, which actually now makes a lot more sense why UCLA's mascot is a brown bear. This mascot costume is so friendly and so cute. If I was a kid, this life-size teddy bear would be the one that I would instantly run up to and want to give a giant hug. In this case, I think stereotypical and classic is in UCLA's favor. What also helps is that Gonzaga's Bulldog mascot costume is kind of falling into that derpy category for mascot uniforms. Maybe it's the massive underbite, which is normal for Bulldogs, but it might also be the sad puppy dog eyes. I don't know. But UCLA is the clear winner for mascot costumes and is now the winner of this matchup. And there you have it. That's the rundown on the Sweet 16 teams. That was a lot, so let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll run through the rest of the matchups and find out who is our champion. Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we went through each of the 16 teams and talked about some of the designy type stuff that got us to my Elite Eight list. Now, I know we're talking about teams that we already talked about, but I promise I won't run through all of that same info for each team. I was able to find some additional things to throw into consideration, so let's see what I found for my Elite Eight teams. A quick reminder, though, that you can follow along on all of the visuals I'm talking about using this week's show notes, so feel free to check it out if you're interested. Let's start off our Elite Eight Designer Bracket Showdowns with San Diego State versus Creighton. This was a surprisingly difficult matchup right out of the gate for the Elite Eight. I find that whenever I have two teams I really like going head-to-head early on in a bracket, it makes it really difficult because it can really affect everything else down the road to the point where maybe I start questioning my finalists. Earlier, we talked about the uniform designs and logos for each of these teams. Comparing them side by side now, I am totally torn on the uniform matchup and even the logo designs are tough. I lean towards the Creighton Blue Jays because of my own design aesthetics, but it's a hard call, so maybe I'll just give the Blue Jays like half a point. One thing we didn't talk about in the round of 16 was the mascot uniforms for either of these teams, and I think that's where we're really going to find our decision. Unfortunately, that's not an easy decision either because both of these are really good. The San Diego Aztecs mascot wasn't so much of a full-body costume with fur, but there are feathers. Now, keep in mind, like the controversy surrounding the Cleveland Indians professional baseball team and the Washington Redskins professional football team, the same thing happened with the San Diego Aztecs in 2019. While I don't really like to get into politics on the show, I do want to acknowledge that this was something that was brought to the table for discussion. And in 2019, there was a unilateral decision from SDSU's president to end the use of the Aztecs warrior mascot known as Montezuma, or Monty, after I think it was 88 years that he was around. Agree or disagree with the decision, it means that right now there's an open position for the school's mascot that in the future might be determined by which conference they join. I mean, if you look at the Pac-12 teams, all of those mascots are more furry and cute and cuddly, so maybe an eagle or a jaguar would fit really well with the Aztec branding in the Pac-12 conference. But that doesn't help us for this episode. So in reverence of what was and today's need for some kind of mascot to help us out, I'm going to use the historical design of SDSU's Aztec mascot and just say that the design is wonderful for the purpose of sporting events. Montezuma is such a powerful figure that really adds drama to a sporting event, especially when you add in a fog machine, the drum line, and a conch shell. The design of the mascot's clothes itself was fantastic, with so many feather, bead, and embroidered details. From head to toe, this mascot was impressive. Looking at the Creighton Blue Jays mascot costume, it's almost the exact opposite. It's brightly colored, it's fun, it's not really imposing or scary, and I'd say pretty family friendly for any little kids attending a sporting event with mom and dad, you know, maybe to cheer on their big brother playing basketball for the team. I also think that unlike a lot of animal mascots that can get really cheesy and lack quality of shaping on certain parts of that headpiece, the Blue Jay really does look good from more than one angle. The little flappy feathers under the arms are also a great touch. This is so difficult to choose. This could literally be a coin flip. But I guess based on the simple fact that San Diego State's mascot doesn't even exist anymore, I'm going to have to choose Creighton on this one. FAU versus Michigan State. I had a little easier time with this one, even though I really like them both. I think Michigan is going to win the uniform design for me. FAU wins my vote for logo design. And that leaves the mascot costume design as the tiebreaker. FAU's mascot's name is Owsley, which is absolutely adorable. But you might be wondering why a school like Florida Atlantic has an owl as a mascot. And that's because in 1971, the FAU campus was designated a burrowing owl sanctuary by the Audubon Society. The burrowing owl originally came to Florida because, true to their name, they don't nest in trees. They dig little burrows and live underground, which, depending on where they live, can make them more susceptible to predators. Other than cats, there's not very many predators for the burrowing owl since FAU is near the airport, and that tends to deter a lot of other wildlife. Which, now that I think about it, there was a movie from like the mid-2000s maybe, it was called Hoot. I think it was based on a book, but basically this kid moves to Florida and becomes friends with a girl and her brother who have this secret hideaway that's home to a bunch of burrowing owls. The main conflict in this story is that they then have to try to stop the development of some restaurant or something from destroying the owls' homes. But yeah, it was a really cute movie that probably has 2, maybe 3 stars on IMDb, and the FAU's Owsley just reminded me of it. So tugging on my heartstrings here, but no, Carrie, you have to be objective. So I talked about Michigan State's Sparty a little bit earlier, so I won't get into too many details on that other than a quick fun fact that Sparty was originally created in 1955 by a group of fraternity brothers and was basically a big papier-mâché Spartan head. So from fun art project to a full-on mascot, I'd say that's a pretty good glow-up. I love both of these mascots, so I guess I'm going to have to look at the design and construction of the costumes. When I do that, I just keep finding myself gravitating towards Sparty, because if ever a character was to walk out of a 3D animated cartoon and stand in front of you, this would be it. He looks so good and the costume's construction is so clean. So I guess that means Sparty and Michigan State are moving on to the final four. Next up is Houston and Xavier. I was kind of on the fence when choosing Houston over Miami, so it feels kind of wrong if they move on to the next round, especially when you consider all of the really strong design elements of the Xavier Musketeers. Is it wrong to make this a really quick decision? I mean, I don't know, but I also don't want to dwell on it too much. So what's that saying? Think long, think wrong. So let's call it and say Xavier here and move on to our next matchup. UConn versus UCLA. Gosh, I feel like this might be a subtly tricky choice. I love the uniforms for both of these teams. One is for color and one is for a slight variation on the armpits. So let's just call that one a tie. But I love UConn's logo. And, you know, you pair that with UCLA's logo that's just kind of mid for me. So I'll give that point to UConn. I guess that leaves the UCLA teddy bear mascot versus UConn's Husky mascot. To me, while the UCLA mascot is fun and cuddly, UConn's is this really creepy anthropomorphic animal that just gives me the heebie-jeebies when looking at his little wolfish grin. It's almost like I'm stuck in a Three Little Pigs nightmare and I'm the one with the straw house. But at the same time, I still can't really rule it out as a quote-unquote bad mascot costume. Maybe this will be something that tips the scale, though. I went out and found historical logos for both UConn and UCLA. UCLA was pretty predictable with mostly variations of the UCLA letters, you know, some including the word Bruins in there. But when I saw the historical versions of the UConn Huskies logo, I was brought to tears laughing. It's something that maybe I shouldn't laugh at, but it's the derpiest looking thing I have ever seen, and I cannot believe that it was ever seriously put forward as an option, let alone even considered and accepted. It's absolutely hilarious, and if you have time and want a good laugh, I encourage you to look it up or head on over to the show notes. We were kind of tied on this one, but I think the good laugh that I had for the 1959 UConn logo put me in a good mood. So let's go with that one and see where we end up. And with that, I think if I can count, that brings us to our final four. We have Creighton versus Michigan State and Xavier versus UConn. This is where things get really difficult. So for our first two of the last four, we have Creighton versus Michigan State. Now that I think about it, does anyone know where Creighton University is? I think it's one of those smaller teams because the school itself is smaller, and without the city or state in its title, it's one of those schools that we could easily play a game of like hot or cold to try to figure it out. But I'll spare you, and I'll tell you that it's in Omaha, Nebraska, which I never would have guessed. But comparing these two teams for design, I love the uniforms. I think Creighton has some non-traditional design elements that put it a nose ahead of Michigan State. And in terms of logos, I just really gravitate towards Creighton's. I feel like I'm about 5 hours into recording this episode, so I'm just going to make it a quick decision and put Creighton into the finals, which also doesn't help make this next decision any easier. I thought the Elite Eight matchup of San Diego State versus Creighton was difficult to judge, but with this matchup, I think I have severely underestimated how difficult this entire bracket would be. Honestly, this matchup was almost painful. It nearly killed me to make this decision because when I was first talking about doing this episode, if you would have asked me who I thought would be my overall winner, I totally would have told you that it was going to be UConn. But this is only the final four. Sometimes it really sucks when two of your favorite teams are on the same side of the bracket and only one of them can make it through to the final round. But let's take a closer look. I kind of lean towards UConn's team uniforms again on this one because that touch of red just adds some visual interest. But I also love how crisp and clean and professional Xavier's looks. So I'll leave the uniform category as a near tie unless I have to use it to make some kind of decision. Looking at logos, this is another one of those that I almost can't choose. I feel horrible for saying it's a tie on this one too, but geez, that's not easy. I guess let's pass on that one too until I need to decide. So that leaves the mascot costume design, and I think this is where I finally have my breakthrough. Creepy Wolf versus Big-Headed Musketeer. I've mentioned before, but I think quality of construction on these types of things is really important. And while I can't actually touch these costumes or feel the material or look at the seams, looking at pictures is as good as it's going to get. But the good news is that from a conceptual level, I think the Musketeer is stronger. It has more distinct and defined lines and structure, and the bit of silver under his cape is a really fun touch to add some visual interest and pizzazz to what could have been a very boring human figure. It's not too much of a stretch to imagine this is a real character living in our crazy world of sports, so I'm going to have to give the win to Xavier. And that brings us to our final round. These were not the finalists I had expected, but here we are, and I am having such a hard time with this final matchup. Creighton versus Xavier. If I put these two side by side, it's another case of pain and suffering for me to have to make a decision. I can't decide if both of them being blue really helps or is making it worse. So maybe rather than comparing them to one another, because I'm not going to get very far doing that, I think it might be interesting to give each a score of sorts and then whichever is highest wins. So let's look at things like consistency and quality across all elements, talking uniforms, logos, other graphics, mascots, all of it. And we can look at supporting elements too, like the school's website design. I don't know, I need something to help make a decision here. Creighton has that side graphic on their uniform that I mentioned earlier, and I thought it was cool at the time, but the more I look at it, I think that's going to become dated really quickly, and it also doesn't fully match the Creighton logo. Their mascot is okay too. I mean, it's nothing super special, but at least the shaping of the head matches the team logo. If we take a quick peek at their website, they do have a really interesting diamond thingy when scrolling, which is fun to play with. But overall, there's some colors in here that I just don't understand. Like there's this weird seafoam green and this yellow that's giving me these weird Liberty Mutual commercial vibes. So for consistency, Creighton's not quite doing it for me here. If we look at Xavier, though, it looks like everything from their uniforms to their logo to their mascot to their website, it's all so perfectly branded that I'm having a hard time finding something to nitpick at. I think the only thing that has a little question mark hanging over my head is this strange other mascot that's literally a furry blue blob. When I looked it up, it turns out his name is literally Blue Blob, and he was created in 1985 as a kid-friendly alternative to the sometimes scary main mascot, D'Artagnan. He literally looks like something out of Sesame Street, but I actually kind of like the idea. So I think I may have my final answer. The winner of the 2023 NCAA Designer Bracket is the Xavier Musketeers. It's funny that starting out, before looking at all of these teams, I could have sworn that UConn would have won it for me. But I guess instead of the Huskies, I picked the Muskies. Okay, really bad joke, but that was a fun designer showdown. Do we want to do a worst design winner? Or maybe it's a biggest loser? Like, is that mean? I mean, maybe you guys can guess based on how quickly I knocked him out of the bracket, but I'm going to have to give this very unfortunate title of worst designed team to the Princeton Tigers. If they ever want to do a branding update, I think that would be an absolutely fantastic idea, and I would be in full support of it. Alrighty, guys, I think that about does it for this week's episode. I know that was a lot, but hopefully you had a little fun and enjoyed some of those little factoids and tidbits I threw in there. I think next week we're going to get back into story time, but about exactly what, I have no clue yet. We'll see what piques my interest here in the coming days, but yeah, I'm looking forward to bringing you guys another episode. I hope you're enjoying the show, and if you are, I would really appreciate it if you'd leave me a 5-star review in your podcast app. I think that's my least favorite part of every episode when I ask you guys for that, but it really does make a difference in growing the show and continuing to get the show out there to other people who might enjoy it. So go ahead and leave that 5-star review, and I will catch you next week. Until then, stay artrageous.
Series music created by Arensen. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array. Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.